Welcome in. It's an all new Jock Market Power Hour for this week's Fortinet Championship. I'm Rick Gaiman. That right there, Joe Idoni. And Joe, it feels like an eternity. It has only been 2 weeks.
Just like riding a bike, baby. You ready to get back into it tonight? It's only been 2 weeks. You're right. It feels way longer than 1 week off a Power Hour, but looking forward to the Fortinet. We get the season started this week as we sort of head into this fall swing. Ryder Cup coming up soon. A lot to be excited about in the golf world, as well as obviously a lot going on in other sports, which Jock Market, of course, has contests up and running for. And I saw, did you see today that they're doing some new things, releasing some new things with the football contest? It looked really cool.
Yeah, I did. So I read that email. I'll see if I can pull it up real quick. But now that football is back, like, there's just a ton going on Jock Market. There's not only the prop side of things, the pick 'em side of things, but the markets are available for obviously baseball and golf and football and everything else that is going on. And then what I saw today, and I'm looking for the email, where basically they adjusted the time.
Yes.
That the markets are open for. Is my right. understanding, right? So
yeah, so they're moving to sort of the concept of an all-day cash market. So it's basically starting at 9 a.m. on game days on Sunday. And instead of waiting to be able to actually pull through and purchase those shares into the final minutes of IPO, you can buy shares immediately from 9 a.m. until the last whistle of the day. I think it's a great sort of evolution of the game. It's what I think that they've been sort of striving toward for a while, is this idea that you don't necessarily have to be plugged in for a specific 30 minutes. They want their users to be able to buy, to be able to sell, to be able to short throughout the day, and not feel like they're hamstrung between 11:30 and 12 to make sure that they're on the app. You can log in anytime, any day, and still get those trades. And so I thought it was a very cool advancement and something that I know the team over there has been hard at work on and in developing for a while.
Yeah, it makes complete sense to be able to do that for longer and not have to be tied to your computer or tied to your mobile app for this, you know, very specific window. So live right now, obviously, are the Major League Baseball markets. We've got the Fortinet market, the pre-IPO for Thursday night. Football is right around the corner, so things are rocking and rolling. And if you're just stumbling in here, if you're new, if you are coming in for the first time. This is essentially Stock Market DFS, Joe. You know, you mentioned the terms that you were saying, bidding and buying and shorting and shares. Like, it is basically the stock market, but now athletes are the stock. So tonight, until about 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight, the market for the Fortinet is open and every golfer in the field is available. You'll be able to make bids, and then based on their finishing position, there are guaranteed payouts, and that's how they determine whether you have made money or lost money for the week.
Yeah, it's what was like the most attractive piece of Jock Market when I first started playing about 3 years ago. And I still think it's the most attractive piece of the game, is that every player has an equivalent value, basically. So even your top players tonight in the market, your Max Homas, your Justin Thomas, of course, they have a value associated with them, which is the price that you're going to pay per share, which depending on their finishing position is either going to increase or decrease your ROI for the week. The same value can be said about the 95th guy in the field this week, about a brand new guy who just was elevated off a Korn Ferry Tour. Every player has a price point. Every player has a price, and that can either move up and down based on performance. So it treats every single player in the field as equals. And that's what's really cool about this, is you can kind of dissect values in different portions versus in other markets, you are basically kind of honing in majority on the top of the board. And sometimes you forget about those guys who finish 40th. But in here, if you pay $1.77 per share for it, a 38th place finish can be highly profitable for you.
Yeah. So think about how this would work in other markets. You know, a top 20 market, the way that odds makers would, you know, make the field equal as they would assign odds to golfers. Somebody might be even money to finish top 20. Somebody might be 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. This is kind of flipping the script and saying, okay, well, based on the price now, it's your finishing position that's changing. So you might have somebody who needs to finish 40th to break even, or 37th, or 31st. And obviously, when we get to Max Homa and Justin Thomas for tonight, that number is going to be a lot closer to like 8th or 9th or something like that. So just a different way to look at it. But you're right. It makes it so that the entire field is very, very live, which is, to me, the best part about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very clear, and the clarity is there when you're within the app, when you're looking to sort of put in your bid for a player, exactly what that break even point will be. And it changes for each player. It changes for each, you know, number. Like you see here, you have guys already up there like Sahith and Justin Suh have already gotten a ton of bids. Max Homa is already up there, but there's certain players right below them that are still sitting at $1 per share, as we know, who've been through it plenty of times. As we get closer to nine, all of this tends to sort of level out and balance, similar to the order that you would see on a typical odds board. But it gives you an idea right there where you see at the break even 11th or better at that price for Max Homa. That's what you got to know.
Yeah, literally tells you. So at $10.30, 11.4, you click it. Says this player needs to finish 11th to make money at this price. Steven Yeager, $40.70 per share. That's 36th. And when you go to put your bids in, it'll tell you, right? So if I say, you know, $9 per share, it says this bid implies a break-even rank of 14th place. So it is all over there. You will not be able to miss it. And once you kind of get your feet underneath you, it starts to become a lot of second nature. Now, I have the data from last week. Now, this was a little bit, or not last week, from the Tour Championship, the last event that we had. Now, this was obviously a little bit different of a payout structure because there was only 30 golfers. There was a staggered start, all that fun stuff. But Victor Hovland sold that Wednesday night for $9.50 per share. He got the full $25 per share payout. So $15.50 of profit for Victor, with Xander coming in and getting that second place payout, $10.85 of profit there. Wyndham Clark was a big mover, $11 of profit. So you can kind of see how this works throughout the market. Even Keegan Bradley, where is Keegan? Right here. You know, his payout of $5 per share, if that was Victor Hovland getting $5 a share, you would have lost money. But because Keegan only sold for $3.95, he was a moneymaker for you.
Absolutely. You can see there, even in a small field like that. Now, granted, like you mentioned, the payout structure was a little bit different that week than we'll see this week. And it's very clear on the website what the payout structure is. But seven guys out of a field of 30 more than doubled your money by a substantial margin. So there are a lot of opportunities here if you sort of choose wisely. And we're here to kind of help talk you through what we think are some good buys and some guys that we may not be quite as high on based on their price.
All right, so we are going until about 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. That's when this IPO closes and live trading begins. Obviously, you can short golfers right now if you think they're not going to have a good week. If you want to get involved and get the best promo code, the best deposit bonus that you can get, that code is POWER. There's a link in the description. You can go take care of that right now. Now, Joe, reset a little bit here. First event of the year, we're going back to Silverado. This is a place we've played at routinely over the last handful of years. We should have a pretty good beat on this golf course. What is your kind of 30,000 foot view of the types of guys that should have success this week?
Yeah, look, I think that the course doesn't prohibit any particular player from potentially having success. So I think the accuracy guys and the plotters have a much greater opportunity at a place like Silverado than they would do at a 7,700, 7,800 yard golf course. We've seen all styles win, though. We've seen Cam Champ win. We've seen Stuart Sink win off of increased distance. And then we've seen a lot of, you know, historical data that points to guys who are able to come from the fairway having a lot of success here too. It is a narrow golf course in the sense where you're at about 28 yards wide at that 250 yard, but you go to the 300 yard mark where the majority of every player in the field can potentially hit it, and 24 yards wide is a very slim fairways. The rough, I would say, is not overly penal, but there are some large trees. There is trouble lurking where you could potentially have to come out sideways, and sort of some of the subtle nuances and undulations of the greens have been tricky, and they've made some sort of tried to make those difficult in more recent years as well with some of the runoffs that they've sort of enhanced toward the front of the greens. Small tiered landing surfaces. So you're just going to have to give yourself a ton of looks, Rick, from inside 20 feet if you want to make enough birdies to win.
All right, well, let's start naming some names a little bit here, and we're going to do that by playing bullish or bearish. This is where Joe and I select four golfers, and we decide if we would like to be bulls on them or bears on them. And we're just going to start here, Joe, and the guy who I think is going to be under the microscope this week, he's certainly going to be under the microscope at the Ryder Cup. It's Justin Thomas. His fair value tonight is $8.54. That is about 16th or better. So I ask you, are you bullish or bearish on Justin Thomas?
The biggest mystery of the week. Everyone wants to see him. We've missed Justin Thomas. He obviously had sort of a somewhat controversial acceptance of one of the captain's pick of the Ryder Cup when some people thought he didn't quite deserve that. But this is kind of the type of golf course, Rick, I honestly like for Justin Thomas. When I sort of filtered out some of the data based on shorter golf courses under 7,200 yards, he's first in the field tee to green. He's first in the field in approach. Now, what worries me and my concern is what I spoke about earlier, and that he does not hit many fairways. He's 134th in the field in terms of good drives over the last 24 rounds. Look, it's one of those weird weeks that I'm interested to your take on how far back do you go with data, and or you put less emphasis on it in a week like this where we've had a little bit of a layover. But for me, it depends a little bit on price, but overall, in a general sense, I'm bullish on his chances this week, even though he hasn't produced whatsoever in the last 10 markets.
Yeah, so I think this is just, there's a lot of personal preference here of, do you want to be early or do you want to be late on Justin Thomas, right? Right? And I think if you are trying to be early, this is a pretty decent spot for him, right? I mean, he is still, despite the issues that he's had on approach, still a very good wedge player, right? And yes, he's going to have wedge in hand a lot this week. And the last three times he's played here, he has three top eight finishes. Now it's that goes back, you know, eight years. So take that for what it's worth. But my point being that if you're trying to be early, this is one of the better spots you can be early. My problem is I'm pretty much committed to being late here on Justin Thomas. I just need to see something. I need to see glimmers of the best approach player, of the generation statistically. I mean, that is what he has been in his career. I think Tiger Woods and Colin Morikawa are the only two guys that have been better in like the last 400 rounds. And wow, that, I mean, it's just, that's what I need to see, something close to that, not a below average approach player. So I'm committed to being late. So I'll be bearish here. But if you're a little bit riskier, if you want to try to catch him early, it's a pretty decent spot.
In terms of looking at statistics, just to kind of circle back on that, where do you stand on, you know, usually, Rick, toward the end of the season there, what I had done was sort of shorten up my time frame a little bit, where I was looking at more a little long term, maybe at 36 or 50 rounds. I had started to look on your site at like 20 rounds. Like, what are they doing now? This was very much toward the July and August of the PGA Tour season. Now I get this sense that I should probably kind of revert back to long-term data because there are so many unknowns. There are players making coaching changes, swing changes, equipment changes, time off, players getting engaged, players going on vacation, having like all that. There's so many variables. I'm more inclined to widen the scope a little bit and look at it a longer-term form of data. Are you in that same boat?
Yeah, I used a lot of like 75 rounds this week. Cool. Just because, you know, 50 rounds is basically 6 months. All of those reasons that you laid out, right? Guys who were playing every single week are now going to get rest. Guys that, you know, as you play, you know, something might pop up, a little flaw in your game. And the more you play, you know, the kind of worse it gets, and you don't have time to get with your swing coach and get it all figured out. Well, now they've had time. They've had time to settle down, get on the launch monitor, get on video, do all that stuff, make sure everything is in order. So yes, I generally revert people back to like their longer term baseline for me, 50 rounds, 75 rounds, something in that range.
Okay, good to know.
Next up is Akshay. This was your submission, and I was pretty excited when you said it here. So his fair value for tonight is $7.06. That's going to ask him to finish about 21st or better. Are you bullish or bearish on Akshay Bhatia?
You know what? I'm actually bearish on Akshay. I think that obviously he got the win there at Tahoe Mountain. And this, I'm sure this is kind of sort of within the same range. But I think on the whole, he's lost strokes putting in 8 of the last 9. I do not think that that is a strength whatsoever of his game. And when you look at the guys who have finished well here historically, for instance, the top 3 guys last year on the leaderboard here gained a combined like 18 strokes putting. It is very much a course where you're going to have to lean on a hot putter. I also have some concerns about his proximity with the wedges. When you look at from 75 to 150 yards, which over 50% of your approach shots are going to come within that range this week, he has not been great in terms of gaining on the field there. He's ranked on the bottom half of the field in terms of good drives gained. He can spray it a little bit. I like Akshay on a wide open course. Now, I don't really necessarily know a whole lot about Tahoe, but I know what Mexico brings. I know what some of these other really wide courses bring, and he had a lot of success there. And then when you look at places like Wyndham and Heritage and even Rocket Mortgage, these places that require what I feel is a little bit more accuracy and more emphasis on playing from the short grass, he struggled. He's missed cuts. So I don't like the course fit for him. And I just think that from a popularity standpoint in other formats, he's one of the more, you know, I've seen him on more betting cards than just about anybody. He's looking like 18 to 20% ownership in some DFS formats. That all lines up for me for a bearish stance in Jack Market and elevated price.
Yeah, so I generally agree with you that I am certainly on the bearish side of things. What I will point out is this is an interesting format for Akshay because he does really well in smaller sample sizes. He's one of the guys who gains like 5 or more strokes more frequently than everybody else in this field, but he just has a lot of trouble putting 2, 3, 4 rounds together. Obviously, he did it at the Barracuda, and he can do it a little bit more. I'm sure we'll see him mature, but right now he's a very, very volatile golfer. And what I think is interesting is, you know, you look at first round leader markets, you look at markets like this where you could potentially get out of your investment of Akshay if he plays well early. I think there is a little bit of interest in me in trying to be in the Akshay market tonight. And maybe in 24 hours from now, be trying to get out of the Akshay market.
That's a great point. And like same for me, like he is a roller coaster of a player. He gains a lot. He loses a lot on the field. So as someone who may be out on Akshay, if he's +3 after round one, it may be someplace that I'm looking to get back in because you mentioned his tendency to sort of gain 4 or 5 strokes on the field during a round. So vice versa, I think there are two ways to kind of play it. And those type of players make for very interesting profiles, specifically within the jock market.
Yeah, Akshay's a bob and weave kind of guy. You don't just like invest and just wait a week. It's just like you get in, you get out, you do the whatever he's doing, the opposite is probably coming. So that's kind of the way you deal with Akshay. How about this one? I like this one a lot. Cam Davis, 768 is his fair value. That's about 20th or better. I'm assuming we are both going to be bullish on Cam Davis. Does that sound about right? Okay.
I am bullish on Cam Davis. Yeah, I just really felt some positive signs, and you can see it bear out statistically sort of late in that season where he really just started to come back into some of the form that we had expectations for of early in the year. You see the ball striking numbers. You see the approach numbers really started to get dialed in. We know that he's a streaky putter, but almost in a good way where he will have really bad rounds. But it's not like Akshay where he's losing 8 out of 9. He also flips it and often gains strokes putting. He's a great driver. He's a great wedge player. He's a streaky putter who actually throughout his career has shown better results on sub 7,400 yard golf courses, which is a bit surprising for one of the longer players in the field. I like Cam Davis long term. I like him short term. I like him tonight. I'm going to be bullish.
Yep, I think that's about right. I think there are a lot of crossovers between the style of golf that you can play here and the style of golf that you can play at Detroit Golf Club. Obviously, he's had a ton of great success there. This is a golf course that is not necessarily going to penalize the spray off the tee, but will reward that precision on the second shot. And then we just kind of need to find one of these decent little putting weeks. Go gain 2, 2.5 strokes to the field, and I think we have ourselves Cam Davis in contention, and that's basically the most you could ask for. And if everything lines up and falls in his direction, great. If not, you don't need a win right? It's the jock market. Right. You don't need a win. You get a top 15, you're probably making money on Cam Davis. And I think there's a lot of clear paths for him to get to the top of the board. That's my opinion.
Like it.
Finally, we're going to go to Bo Hostler here. And I have his fair value tonight, 653, which is a little bit further down the board. It's about 25th or better. I'll start us here, Joe, because this was my submission. I'm bullish on Bo. I think that he is longer than people give him credit for. When he's going well, he's very good on those wedges. And you see the history around here, three consecutive top 25 finishes. I think there is a little bit of Akshay in him where if it's Sunday on the back nine and he's one off the lead or tied, I'm worried. I don't know how that is going to end, but I think there is a path to me getting Bo, holding him for a while, and maybe just picking times to get in and get out.
Yeah, so I think for the most part, I agree. I'm probably more bullish than I am bearish this week. My points of concern would be that when I filter in some of the shorter course stuff, he doesn't rate out necessarily very well, but you can easily counter that with what you said in the course history here has been pretty spectacular. He's one of the better players in the field in terms of what he produces from a strokes gain standpoint at Silverado versus his PGA Tour baseline. Much like Cam Davis, he can be a very streaky putter where he's a guy who can gain you five or lose you five in any given event. And I just think that, you know, we're sort of still been waiting for the ascension for quite a while on a player of his talent level. He's shown himself in the jock market as a strong gainer in three of the last four markets played. He's gained you about 18% ROI over those last four tournaments. So positive signs to end the season, I think, leads into a motivated and exciting offseason for a player like that, just to see things sort of going his way and a fall swing that is very important for a player like Bo Hostler, which has me more on the bullish side.
All right, I've got 8:36 p.m. Eastern time. We've got about 24 minutes to go until this IPO closes. If you want to get involved, the code you're looking for, POWER, there is a link in the description. And I am ready to unveil the big board, which has Max Homa leading the way, $11 per share already. Joe, he is basically right at his fair value. He's crossed over it. That is 10th or better. This guy is going for a three-peat with an already top heavy nature. And when you look at the betting market with Justin Thomas being near the top and with plenty of question marks, this is Homa's market tonight.
Yeah, he's trying to go for full Stricker mode. You can mention that Justin Thomas is like the only other player in the field sub 20-1. And that number is arguable because of where his sort of current form stands. Max Homa is on the other side. You see there are five straight top 12s. He really sort of figured out his iron play late in the year. We see the putting start to spike again, which is always a positive sign for one of the better players in the field. He talked about, obviously, a place that he's won twice, so a place that he's fairly familiar with and loves coming back to. Are there any concerns for you on a look ahead to the Ryder Cup, or is that just like a sense of obligation to come back here, or do you think he's primed and ready to just come in here and repeat, because he is the best player in the field and he's playing the best in the field?
I think that Max is pretty good at being in the moment. I know he's done kind of a lot of work on that, and I think that he will give as much energy and attention as he possibly can to the Fortinet, but that is going to be really difficult. I mean, they just got back from Rome. I mean, they came back like Sunday night, and they're gonna go right back after. I don't know how. If he's not the back to back champion, he's not here, right?
That's what I was kind of getting at. Yeah,
and I don't believe that he would be, not that I think he's gonna miss the cut. He's the best player, but like I don't think he'd be all that upset if he missed the cut. And I also think that if he just finished T13 and hit a lot of good shots, he'd be happy to get out of town and go to Rome and see what's going on. I'll be really, really impressed if he contends again. That would be even more impressive than the last two wins, in my opinion.
Absolutely. As much as he's even outwardly spoken this week about how much he loves this event and this golf course, if Danny Willett essentially doesn't miss a 2-foot putt last year, Max probably isn't here this year as a defending champion, like you mentioned. And he obviously, the Ryder Cup is probably somewhat on the forefront of his mind. The other concern that isn't really motivation related is when you're the best player in the field playing the best, right? Your form is in check and you probably have the most talent level. You're the favorite. You want the most difficult test you can possibly face. You don't really want to go to Silverado in that And what I mean by that is in any given tournament at Quail Hollow, for instance, another place where he's had success, you can maybe argue 20 to 30 players who can potentially win that event. This whole field is live. You've got a bunch of Korn Ferry guys coming in who are hungry, who are motivated, who are used to birdie fests. Your Ches Reavies, your JJ Spawns, your 280-yard drivers are all live here as well. This thing is really wide open, which makes it hard for me to then stake a favorite at $11 or $12 per share in that environment.
Sahith is next, 853. I'll admit, this is a very difficult one for me. I find Sahith to be incredibly difficult to predict in general. I'm not sure this is a super great spot for him. I'm probably just going to be an observer, an interested observer in whatever Thigala does this week, but I find him to be the most difficult guy to figure out.
100% there with you also on that take. The thing is I think I was looking at some of the course history versus expectation data over guys who have played this place at least 12 rounds, and he's third best in the entire field. I don't love this like fit for his type of game, for what he has shown throughout his career. He is not the most accurate off the tee. This place has super narrow fairways. He's not the most proficient wedge player. And I just don't love the fact that he's going to be super popular. He's got the California narratives. He's got the course history narratives. He's got the best player in the field still sort of seeking a maiden PGA Tour victory. Would it surprise me if this is the place he got it? No, but I still feel like at this point he's a bit overvalued what I would say is maybe the median outcome if he played this thing 20 times.
That $7 range right now is pretty interesting. We already talked about Cam Davis, who's at 713, Steven Yeager at 725, and Eric Cole at $7. I will point out that Yeager is the second pre-ranked golfer. He is going to break all ties except with Max Homa. So if there's a nine-way tie for second and Homa's not involved, Steven Yeager is getting the full payout there. And he has returned you a profit in four of his last five markets. So that Yeager, Cole, and we can even throw in, you know, Brendan Todd, Andrew Putnam, guys that we haven't talked about in that $7 and $6 range, Joe. Is there somebody there that you've clicked the favorite button on that you're eyeing up with about 18 minutes to go?
Yeah, this is a questionable take, but I don't love like the sort of, I come back to like, you are sort of who we thought you were with these guys like Steven Yeager and Eric Cole. And what I mean by that is two players that were on fantastic runs to end the season. I want them to keep that going. I don't know where the peak in the mountain is, but having basically essentially a month off from the St. Jude, 6 weeks off, was not the best for someone playing the best golf of their entire career. Same with Eric Cole. I would have liked to see these two players keep going, and to come back out a month and a half later and expect the same level of play is difficult for someone who I feel is maybe just at the top end of their caliber, of their talent level, of their expectations long term. So I know these guys are going to rate out great in your stat models. I know that they finished top 10 in how many straight events to end the season, but they aren't Max Homa. They aren't Justin Thomas. They aren't that player for a reason. And my feelings are that layoff does more harm for them than it did good going into the offseason for guys like that.
I'm pretty heavily invested in Steven Yeager. And the further we've gone in the week, I have just felt like I just walked into the trap. Right.
Yeah.
Because you're right. And it's like, yeah, he's made a lot of cuts. Like, is he gonna contend? Is he gonna win? Is he gonna do anything? Is he who I think he is? Or am I getting like Taylor Montgomery'd here, right? Where he had like nine. Like, I honestly, and I hope I'm wrong, right? Yeah. I hope that Yeager continues it, but I have started to feel like I'm stepping into a trap the longer this week goes on.
Look, there's a range of this, and I'm not taking a shot at Steven Yeager, but this sort of caliber player that we see all the time go on 3 months runs. Like, I can remember an incredible run in Jock from like Hank Lebioda and Doc Redman at times. And like, these guys have this big ascension, and then it's very hard to continue that if you don't excel and have a huge advantage in a certain part of your game. If you're really long, if you're a great driver of the golf ball. Now, he's playing fantastic golf, but that was also midsummer. It's just hard to sort of maintain that form consistently for a long period of time for these players.
Well, let's jump down a little bit further. This $5 range here, Justin Soh hanging a fourth in the pre-rank, really, really good number there, but he's been a loser in four straight markets and five out of six. Alex Noren, Mark Hubbard, Dylan Wu. You mentioned Ches Reavie earlier. He's at $5.03. He's been great around Silverado. Then you get, yeah, like these guys that we've seen pop at times, Sam Ryder, Kevin Yu, Kevin Streelman, Matt Kuchar. Is there anybody you're comfortable enough investing in here tonight?
You know what? I kind of do like Sam Ryder. I have him favorited. I actually bet him this week. He's kind of the opposite end where he probably peaked very early in the year last year during that California swing when he played really well with the Farmers and the Genesis, and he was top 20ing through Florida. He had a couple of positive signs, a seventh at the 3M, a 38th and a 31st to sort of end his year. And I feel more comfortable going back to a player with a couple of decent starts, but I think is about the same player as Steven Yeager is long term over the course of 2 years. I don't feel like they're that far apart. So I'd rather bank on the guy who showed a little bit of life, kind of continuing that form. Dylan Wu was another one there that I have some interest in, who had shown some nice spikes. Mark Hubbard played a little bit better late in the year. So for myself, I feel much more comfortable sort of in this range with these players with a bit more knowns and I think upside based on still reaching their potential.
Yeah, speaking of upside, I see a couple guys here in the $4 range that I'm interested in. You know, Doug Gim, who has just hit it much better as of late. Garrick Higo, ever since splitting with his swing coach, has started to figure it out. And I think this is probably one of the better spots for him. There was one other. Lucas Herbert. I'm not a big Herbert guy, but he kind of falls into that Akshay category. He's a very good, like, first round leader, 18 holes at a time type of option. So those are a couple of names that jump out to me in the fours. But how about the threes here, Joe? I mean, you mentioned it. The Zach Blairs are live this week, right? I mean, these guys that are not necessarily bombers have a path to the top of the board.
Yeah, Ryan Garrard as well is very much in that Blair. He does not hit it very long. I think that he had a great finish in the event that Akshay won out in Tahoe that isn't going to show up there in the Jock Market stuff, but I believe he played pretty well there. You mentioned Doug Gim, and like I've never been someone to take Doug Gim, but I couldn't ignore it this week when I looked at sort of my model that was a bit more short-term biased. Came out number one, and that's hard for me to just overlook, and he was rated number one in five of the nine categories that I'm looking based on the short term in terms of ball striking, good drives gain, greens in regulation, proximity number with the wedges. So he's been on a fantastic run. And if he's able to sort of hang around there in that $4 or $5 range, I think that's a bit discounted based on where he was able to finish up late in the season.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well. We've got about 13 minutes to go in this IPO. The code you're looking for is POWER. There is a link in the description. This market is getting more and more mature. Max Homa trying to get over that $12 mark with Sahith really carving out a nice little spot in second. It seems like the market is shoring up on him. And then we're seeing Justin Thomas improve his standing, but still the fifth most expensive golfer behind Homa, Thigala, Cam Davis, and Steven Yeager. Let's go real far down the board here, Joe. Let's actually go to the second page and see if there's anything worth pointing out. The first thing that jumps off to me is Matty Schmidt's played a couple of European Tour events recently. He's made the cut in both of those. He had a top 25, and his last two PGA events were top 25s. So he has kind of not stopped playing, right? There are some of these guys, Joe, where okay, they got eliminated from the FedEx Cup playoffs. Schmid finished at the Wyndham, but that it's not like we haven't seen him since then. He's just been playing somewhere else. So there are a couple of these guys who have stayed in form, and I haven't really reset them back to long-term stuff.
Yeah, that's a great point there on some guys who have gone overseas to sort of play. I had some interest in Carson Young, who played reasonably well. He's 107 in the pre-rank, but now at around $3. Is there any, and you're always great for this, like give me an up-and-coming name coming into the tour this year that we need to look out for that they could potentially like top 20 this week?
Well, he's not coming onto the tour just yet, but Preston Summerhays got into this field.
Yeah.
So you know, he wins a collegiate event to get in. He just got back from the Walker Cup, where I think he was 2-1-1 at the Walker Cup at St. Andrews. He is the 12th ranked amateur in the world. He comes from just a family that breeds great golfers. Listen, he's never made a cut on the PGA Tour. But I get juiced up for talent like this.
Yeah, we're interested, right? You had mentioned the pedigree there. His father, I believe, is like Finau's coach and a couple of other guys, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's so many Summer Hayes running around all over the place that are just so darn good. Yeah, he's someone that, like, I'm just, you know, like, I feel this way about Akshay. I feel this way about Sahith. Obviously about Justin Thomas, just like genuinely curious about what he's going to do this week is where I think Summer Hayes falls as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting litmus test, I believe, for a lot of guys. And he certainly falls into that list as someone that I want to keep an eye on the leaderboard.
Trying to see if there's anybody else here that is worth pointing out. I'm not sure there is. Gets pretty bad down here. Brian Gay plays a lot on the Champions Tour, so he still plays a lot, but it's not every time he comes back and plays on the PGA Tour, he kind of gets his butt whipped. You know, he hasn't made a cut since Bermuda, and I don't know, I think it just might be past him at this point, so that's kind of hard to invest in as well.
Yeah, I like looking at some guys, like some of the more, and there isn't one that I have in particular in mind because I'm looking at the pricing now and none of them really pop off the page, but veteran established PGA Tour players who potentially had a bit of a disappointing season. I like that they've had the layoff to sort of get back with their coach, get things right. You were talked extensively about how important it was for someone like Victor Hovland last year to be able to travel with their coach and have him with you at every single range session and basically standing next to you for every swing that you take in preparation. A lot of these guys aren't afforded that. They're basically sending videos to the coaches. And I think guys like I'm thinking of someone like Joel Damon or someone like that, who has had a little bit of a time off a disappointing season in a weak field to start the fall with a good motivation to sort of maybe get some FedEx Cup points early, who have had time to sort of reset the barometer, and guys that are established PGA Tour winners who show up to this event. And I think if they can get a hot start, could maybe carry something into the weekend.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Max Homa, 1197. He will be the king of this market tonight. Yeah, I mean, he is opening up a $3 gap on everybody else. So that's asking him to finish, as of right now, eighth or better. I have been priced out of Max Homa here. Joe, what say you?
Yeah, I'm out on Homa. I wouldn't have gone above like 1050, to be honest.
JT, 765. That is about a top 20 on Justin Thomas.
That's an interesting one. And what's interesting about it is there are three guys above him that are more expensive right now in the jock market that you will find below him on an odds board this week. Some of them by substantial numbers. So interested to see what kind of happens. I feel like there is a wave coming, but I also feel like the majority of the public sentiment is exactly what we said. It's like, I kind of just want to watch and I want to see, and I don't know exactly what his intentions are to get out of this week. Like, if things don't start great, he's probably just playing to like have a good feel, like to sort of gain some things in the swing and get back into a sort of a positive realm in terms of the thoughts he has standing over a golf ball. We know that he's working through some swing changes. We know that he's made some adjustments within the bag as well. There's just been a lot on this guy's shoulders, so I think we're all anxious to see, which maybe led to some sort of reluctancy here in the market to take a stand on him.
Did you notice that Taylor Montgomery got a ninth pre-rank, a guy who has been pretty miserable? He's been a loser in 9 out of his last 10, got the ninth pre-rank. He's 226. I mean, he was your fall MVP last year.
Third at this event.
And that is basically all he did.
He gained 12 strokes putting at this event last year, and it was like not an abnormality at the time. It's just kind of what he was doing.
I don't know what to do. I mean, 226 is incredibly cheap, especially for a guy who breaks ties with basically everybody in the field.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone in the $2 range, certainly he breaks ties with.
It's basically, is he going to make the cut? That's basically what you're being asked at 226. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. Fall from grace for Taylor Montgomery. Okay, Joe, I got to get you out of here. You got to go get your bids in. It's 8:54 p.m. Eastern time. We will catch up with you here in a couple minutes and see who ended up in your portfolio.
Roger that. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Good luck. We are closing in here. Last couple minutes of IPO. Remember that that's really just kind of one checkpoint of this market. We're going to go to the live market. You'll be able to continue to trade and short and do everything else and do that throughout the final putt dropping on Sunday. So if you don't get in now, that's fine. But we've got about 6 minutes to go here in this IPO. I'll take you the rest of the way. The code to get involved is POWER. There's a link in the description. And we are seeing the top of the board hold strong. That's Max Homa at 1197. He's been on that exact number here for the last couple of minutes. Now, we did get a little bit of a run on Justin Thomas. He's now up over $8. So there are five golfers between $8 and $9. Sahith, Steven Yeager, Justin Thomas, Cam Davis, and Eric Cole. So we are seeing a little bit of a run on JT. That 850 mark, that's about 16th or better. So those golfers in that range have to finish about 16th or better to return you a profit. Then there is a pretty big gap, a dollar from Eric Cole to Andrew Putnam. So Putnam and Suh are both at $7. Suh is sporting the fourth pre-rank. He's a very, very good putter, although he has struggled here recently in cash markets. He has lost you four in a row. He's lost you five of six, but he has popped for a couple of triple digit returns in his last 15 or so starts. We talked about Bo Hostler in bullish or bearish. He's up to $6.50. That is right at his fair value for tonight. So he is at that number. It's asking him to finish 25th or better. If you think he can do better than that, you're a buyer at 650. If you think he's going to implode, maybe you're shorting him at that same price. Here comes Reavy. The 30th pre-rank has just crossed over his fair value. He's at $5.65. He's got the best strokes gain number of anybody who's played as many rounds at Silverado as he has. It's like 34 rounds, 1.22 strokes gain per round. He's in the midst of a little bit of a putting slump to end the year, but you think, hey, had time to go back, get on the camera, get with his putting coach, might be able to roll the rock a little bit around the North Course at Silverado and put everything into play. A couple of bombers here. How about Taylor Pendrith? $5.20. He's been a loser in two straight. He's been a loser in six out of seven, though he gets that pretty good comp at Detroit Golf Club. There's a lot of statistical similarities between Silverado and Detroit Golf Club. So if you want just something to hang your hat on, Taylor Pendrith is still $1.10 short of his own fair value for tonight. We already talked about Garrett Kago. He can move it off the tee. He's nearly doubled his fair value. So he is not going to be a secret this evening, but at $4.53 per share, you're asking him just to finish about 38th or better. I do think there might be a little bit of a run on Higo as the final minutes of this come into play. A little bit further down the board, some common names that we see each and every week. I'll point out Charlie Hoffman, who's probably playing better golf than you think he is, coming off a really good finish at the Wyndham Championship, T12 there, 320% ROI, generally positive in most categories. Is this a place where, like Joe was alluding to, you get a guy, savvy vet, able to reset, able to get rested, able to come out and beat up on a field that should be one of the weaker of the year? We'll see for guys like Joel Damon. We'll see for guys like Charlie Hoffman. I'm going to refresh the big board here. We've got about 3 minutes to go. This IPO will close, well, maybe about 2 minutes now. We're bearing down on the final few moments here. And as we do, the run on Max Homa hasn't stopped. $12.15 for Homa. We are entering some pretty elite territory when you get to $12 per share. That's going to ask him to finish about eighth or better right now. Sahith is back up to the second most expensive golfer, $8.93. Yeager, $8.50. And there's JT at $8.40 as well. Putnam and Suh haven't moved off of $7. I'm trying to see if there is any big movers since the last time we refreshed. It looks like Nick Hardy got a pretty decent jump up to $5.58, but still short of his fair value. I'm going to flip it around and see what these top 10. Yeah, okay, there's that big push on Taylor Montgomery, who's nearly doubled in price since the last time we pointed him out. He's now $5.04 per share. He's the ninth pre-rank golfer, still well below his fair value for this evening, but certainly climbing up the boards, not going to end up being a super steal, maybe just a little bit of a steal, depending on what he is capable of doing. I'm going to try to refresh this one more time. 8:59 p.m. Eastern time. This is going to close at any moment now. But I'm going to try to see. Wow, Max Homa is still running. Are we done?
Nope. Still okay. Live.
Still live. Max Homa, 12:45, still on the run. This is, I'll check later, probably the most expensive he's ever been. $8.93 for Sahith. So he's trying to get to the $9 mark. A little bit of a push and maybe another nickel on Justin Thomas. But this thing looks like it is maturing. It's over.
We did close down.
All right. Shut it down. Wow.
Yeah, Homa just kept getting steam, man.
He was running. I mean, he was running until the end.
I'm surprised. I see 12:45. Now that could still update, but that is that's a lot more than I thought that he would go for tonight.
I'm trying to pull what his all-time. Wow.
Oh, it had to be.
Smoked it. He crushed it.
Has he ever been more than $10?
Never been more than $9.
Yeah, 12:45. That's what it was.
Last year's Fortinet. So this event last year, which he won. He went for $8.85.
Wow, man.
He is at, I mean, I'll refresh it, but I think I saw the same thing, 12:45.
I mean, he's got to finish
seventh
or better. That's a tough ask, man. That is a tough ask with all things, with a giant layoff, with a Ryder Cup looming, with a field that is all in play. But a lot of people are obviously confident in it. We'll see kind of how it turns out.
Wow. 12:45, not even close, by far the most expensive. Okay, we'll go through the rest of the board here in a second, Joe, but let's see who you ended up with. And I saw that there were already some people in the chat throwing in their portfolios as well. So let's update them on this.
Here's who I got. Cameron Davis at 8.10 per share is my highest price player. Brendan Todd at 6.51. Then in the $5 range, I got Doug Gim and Sam Ryder. Moving down the board in the $3 range, Cameron Champ and Matty Schmid. And then at $2, Kevin Kisner and Fred Biondi. Let's see what Freddie's got this week.
A little bit of a typo there. Okay, so Cam Davis, Brendan Todd, Doug Gim, Sam Ryder, Cam Champ, Matty Schmid, Kevin Kisner, Fred Biondi, the portfolio for Joe this evening. Okay, good luck, Joe.
Who'd you get?
Oh, let's see. I got two. So I made my bids earlier in the day. I held on to two of them. Justin Suh, I got at $7 per share, and Eric Cole at $8 per share.
Cool.
I had bids in on Higo. I had bids in on, I think I had bids in on Ryder. I think I had bids in on Cam Davis and Doug Gim at some point today. So a lot of the guys that you ended up with, I think I had bids on those earlier this morning. And then looks like I held on to Sell. Looks like I held on to Cole.
Okay, cool.
Let's look at this. So we already talked about Homa, 12:45. Here's JT, 8:45. So that is asking JT to finish 16th or better. I mean, I'd rather JT at 8:45 than Homa at 12:45.
Yes, same. I'd rather him at 8:45 than Jaeger at 8:50. Like I just still feel we know what the upside is. We know what the potential is. It's just a matter of whether we see it this week, and he'll get it back. Like, we know that's coming. It's just a matter of whether he gets it this week or in the spring or how long it takes. But the caliber of player that he is maybe the best in the field.
Sahith and Jaeger, 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's fine. I mean, I lack so much confidence in my assessment of these guys this week. That's really the thing, right? I mean, I'm not thrilled with how I've handicapped these guys, and I have no idea what to expect, which is kind of a scary place to be.
Same. Yeah. It's scary when you're like on the opposite side of the public and seemingly what the odds makers are. But that's kind of what I think where we stand on both those players. I'd rather have Thomas and Davis than both of them. That combo right under there, I feel like, are more accomplished and are better suited for this course.
I think you're right. Okay. That kind of $6 range is interesting. Pretty eclectic set of names. Todd, Hostler, Spawn, who we didn't talk about, who has a pretty good pre-rank, got it to $6.35, and then Akshay at 6:33. So Akshay, whoops, I just moved all my stuff around here, but Akshay at 633 has to finish about 26th or better. Okay, that's not bad.
It's not bad. It's what, a 70 cents below his fair value there. So he didn't quite go for what we expected him. I like JJ Spahn a lot this week. I kind of feel like he's the one guy that I may have missed. Got super accurate off the tee late in the year. Always plays well, seemingly during this fall swing. I like him in California. I like some of the numbers that he posted to end the season. And then obviously ended up with some shares of Brendan Todd, who I'm pretty bullish on his recent results and how he sets up as a player for a place like Silverado.
Wow. Okay. I was looking at the weather a little bit earlier. I don't think there's going to be like a super big, like it looks very consistent each day. I think it's going to be pretty the same. So, you know, we'll get some pretty good data on, so with all of that being said, there's probably not going to be a wave advantage. The short hitters are not out of it. History shows us that like anybody can win here. Like this entire, we had a layoff. This entire field is live.
It's like, all live. I'm fired up for golf to be back on tomorrow. So to get this thing kicked off, is someone who isn't really familiar with California, is Napa Southern California? Is that by you? Is that Northern California?
No, that's like Northern California.
It's Northern California. Okay, so somewhat cooler temperatures. Doesn't look like there's really any wind.
Like, it'll still be like 82, but it'll like in the morning it'll be like 55, and then it'll be like 82. Every afternoon it'll go from 5 miles an hour to 10 miles an hour.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like it's pretty consistent. It'll be nice.
Very predictable. So I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, the markets are open now, totally live. So if you want to off any of the shares that you guys have in your portfolio, you can do so now. You can add to your portfolio. You can short guys. Everything is sort of just begun until things wrap up on Sunday afternoon.
Yes, indeed. If you want to get involved, the code is POWER. Again, there's cash markets. There are contests. There are prop pick'em games. There are other sports. Football is in there. There's going to be a Thursday night market. Obviously, Major League Baseball. Just anything you can imagine is going on. So get involved. Support the guys. They support us. They've always supported us. So go and fire away and do your best to support those guys as well. Joe, a pleasure. We will, I guess, not be back next week. So there's no tournament next week. I have no idea what the situation is for the Ryder Cup.
Probably not going to happen. Yeah.
Right. And then Sanderson Farms. So we'll keep everybody abreast on what the schedule looks like.
Absolutely. Great to see you again. Great to sort of see a lot of the people that we're familiar with always in the chat this week. We appreciate your support. Jackpot, by the way, up to over $36,000. And some people have gotten close on this, Rick. I've seen some posts that they've had where some people have gotten to like 9 or 10 out of the 11 winners. So it's still ticking up there. A ton of evolution in the app. Get in the NFL markets. We'll see you as soon as we're back for PGA.
Follow Joe on Twitter @TorPix. You can find me @RickRunGood. This has been your Jock Market Power Hour. Good luck.